Sei doch noch. Jared Payton.
So I was asked to learn a little bit Haggadah. The way that it was given to me was to maybe share some thoughts or some vertlach on the Haggadah. And there are a couple of million vertlach on the Haggadah. I've obsessed over the Haggadah since I'm around 14. I have a collection of thousands of Haggadahs. Most of them are right now in my son's garage because of something that happened in our basement. And I decided, you know, what I really enjoy most when it comes to preparing for Pesach is I might look into this Haggadah and to that Haggadah, but I decided I would take a little journey with you through some Torahs that when I was at this stage in my life, made a strong reishim on me. And I haven't looked at them in around 35 years. And on top of everything, I couldn't find the Slonimer Haggadah. It's probably in my son's garage. I couldn't find the Slonimer Haggadah. The old one that I had, there are two Haggadahs that in particular, two of the Hasidic Haggadahs, there are many other of the Malbim's Haggadah, the Netziv's Haggadah, I mean, Ramashu grew up with. But there are two Hasidic Haggadahs that made a very strong reishim on me at this time in my life, where you are now, and that's the Slonimer Haggadah and the Majid's Haggadah, which they've already upgraded. It's already fancy and beautiful and everything. And there was a third one also. There was an old Haggadah that I found in a box of Shemus in the Yungizul of Hillcrest around 48 years ago. And a Haggadah that had a little on the side from the Baal Tanya, and the other side was from the Baal Streshelia, the Baal Tanya's Talmud. Each one of those pieces takes like a day to learn. So from here, the Slonim Haggadah, I couldn't find it. But I took from the Beis Avram, some of the Torahs that he said from the Rav Avram from Slonim, some of the Torahs that I remembered from when I was younger. And I decided that we'll try to do a few of them today. That's all. So it's not Vertlach. I like to always go with one Mahalach and a Haggadah. So we'll try to learn a few of the Torahs from the Beis Avraham. That's what we're looking at. I don't know how much time, for a half hour, 35 minutes, something like that, just to learn a little bit. So the page that you have, the first page, should say Tav Chavav, I hope, right? Okay. See, is it circled, Yud Beis? Yeah? I don't know if I did that before, or photos that or after. It's not circled? Okay, so you see where it says Yud Beis? Seder. Make believe it's circled. So the Rebbe, the Beis Avraham, Schussi Eleni, was talking here about the pasuk that we just read in the Haftarah of the Shabbos Haggadol. The Haftarah of Shabbos Haggadol is from the last Navi, the Navi Malachi. And there the Navi says what's going to hold us together, what's going to keep us as Jews for the long years of Golus. Chalal is very important. Malachi is a very small sefer, but it's packed with Hashem's like parting words to us. Not that, God forbid, Hashem's not involved with us every second. He's with us. But Biyad Malachi, the Nevuas of Malachi, Zichu Teres Moshe Avdi, it's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, all right, Kidlach, I'm not going to talk to you for a long time now. We didn't realize how long it was going to be. But I'm not going to be talking to you anymore. You're not going to have Nevi'im anymore. So I want to share with you a couple of my final words, some thoughts Hashem shares with us at the end of Sefer Malachi. So the last one is what, at the end, which we were reading, is Hine Anochi Shalach Lachem, Aselio Anavi Lefnei Boyam Hashem, Agod of Anor, which is one of the reasons, the most obvious reason for calling it Shabbos Agodol, that we lay Yom Hagod of Anor, besides the thousands of other reasons, and the Torah and everybody else, but Yom Hagod of Anor, Hashem is telling us, hold on, it's going to happen. Elyonov is going to come, Mashiach is going to come. Now there in that parak that we just learned in the Haftarah of this past Shabbos, it says, Oz Nidbru, look inside Yud Beis. Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem, Ish El Re'ehu, Vayakshav Hashem, Vayisham. Oz Nidbu Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in his parting words at the end of Malachi, the Eitzah that we need to remain Jews at the end of time. And the Iker Eitzah is, Oz Nidbu Yerushalayim Ish El Re'eyu. He says, when God-fearing Jews, when Jews who still believe in God and care about God, give chizik to each other. Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem, Ish El Re'eyu. The action of Hashem, Yishman Hashem, listens to when Jews talk about, when Jews fabren, when Jews are talking about Yiddishkeit, trying to be better. Rabbi Nachman, other tzaddikim, said that before Mashiach comes, the Ikka Yenika that Jews are going to have in the Yirei Shemaim is not going to be from Rebbes, it's not going to be from the Rabbanim, it's going to be from who? From friends, from each other. That's the Ikki Yenika the Jews are going to have is from each other. Not to say that the Rebbeim are not valuable, not to say that the Rebbes are not, and so on. Everybody is there, Tzaddikim. But the Ikki Yenika that a Jew is going to have to stay alive as a Jew is not going to be because you went to that shmuz, you heard this Sikha, you read this Sefer. The Ikki Chiyas that we're going to have before Mashiach comes is the Chiyas of Oz Nidbru Yirei Elokim. Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem Ish El Reyu. Jews talking to each other. And Hashem, and it says Vayakshav, Hashem is Baruch listens to these conversations of Yidden talking to each other. Talking to each other about what? Not about sports, not about their girlfriends. About Yirei Shemaim, about HaKadosh Baruch, about Him. Jews talk to each other. Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem Ish El Reyu. And Hashem listens, and because of his safe is a Kodesh Shalafon, if he writes it down in a special book that Hashem is Baruch has. He has a special bichel, a book. So these conversations that Jews have with each other about Yiras Hashem, about trying to be better Jews, trying to be good, trying to survive at the end. Now the most choshev conversation that Jews have about Hashem is Baruch of the entire year, when Jews sit together, it might be that if you're in a hotel it's hard to hear each other, but if you have the schus to still be in a house somewhere, if there's any of you that survivors that are still in a house for Pesach and not, God forbid, in some dining room, but in a house, so then the greatest conversation of the entire year of Jews talking about the Elokus, even Jews who normally the rest of the year it's hard to get any conversations going with them, they don't talk so much about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to Lel HaSeder, by Lel Pesach, Yidden are talking about the Ribono Shel Olam with each other. So the Slonimus says, look inside, B'Hagada Anu Oimrim V'Afilu Kulonu Chachamim Kulonu Nevinim, and so on. So even if we're all chachamim and the vinyim and so on, mitzvah alenu l'saper b'yitzis mitzrayim. V'atam, shonu tzrichim l'saper dover hayidu mefursum l'kol. I wanted after this should be in writing, hopefully you could look it over, not just to say it over to you. And the reason, the Rebbe says, the reason that we have to tell this story, even though this story, it's the same story that we told last year. And the story is well known to everybody. And the Ikra Avayda by Leil HaSeder is not saying over all kinds of fancy Torah, you know that. It's to just tell the story. The Chassam Sofer used to translate it into Hungarian, into German, into Yiddish for the women and for the children that were at his Seder, his grandchildren, to translate. He would say just the simple pshat and say have a little bit the Medrash and to explain what the words mean. You want to talk all kinds of fancy things, you can do that during Yontif or later on at night when everybody's sleeping. But the Ikar Inyan is by the Seder, is to say, Dvarm pshutim ma'od. Tam mahu oimer. The Ikar Avayda is Tam mahu oimer. But Chassidim, the favorite of the four sons, was never the Chacham, and it was never the any of the Elishol, it was never the Rosha, it was always the Tam. The Tam is the favorite. Mazois. And to explain Mazai. So we already know the story. It's an Alta Maisa. It's an old story. And Afil Kulon Chacham Kulon, even big Tamil Chachamim. Vatam Shin Shichim Masapa Dava Yiduvim Afos Namakol. Ki Ein Echad Yochel Ahargish Masha Margish Hashaini. Because every single person has a different Hergish. Like Rabbi Nachman says at the beginning of Sichas Aran, right? Ani Adati Godel Hashem. I know. My inyan of knowing Hashem is different from yours. Two people say the same story, say the same words, but there's a different hergish. There's a different way that another person looks at something or expresses something, tells something over. What is it about the story that person in particular is taken by? So the Rebbe says, Ki ein echad yochel ahargish ma shemargish hasheni. Kitam vehergish kol echad meshunuhu michaveiro. Because the tam and the hergish of every person is different from another person. It's different. Davka, when you're going to come to the Seder, each one of you is going to come with certain tires and certain ideas and certain feelings. And then when you're there, other things come up. That's your own. Even though you're not, even though it might be that you didn't think of these ideas, it's okay. You don't have to be machadish anything. But why is it that there's certain tire? Why is it that, like I said, there were certain haggadahs that for some reason they spoke to me and they still speak to me. And you're going to come to the Seder with your own hergish of something that you saw, something that made you think, something that made you feel something, and you come to the Seder with your own chelik in that Seder. This hashgacha pratis, why are you sitting with these Jews at this time having this conversation? Therefore, when it says at the end of the Navi there that Oz Nidru Yirei Hashem Ishel Re'eyu, is that the tachlis of sitting together with other people who care about Hashem's Baruch and are talking about it, obviously it's a challenge if you're sitting with people to say who have other things on their minds. That's a very big challenge. But when each person tells over what he's feeling, what his thoughts are and his feelings, the Beis Avram says, from this comes out a tremendous toelos, tremendous benefit comes from such a thing. You don't just come to the Seder, and I want to talk very, very pushy. You don't just come to the Seder with what you have on your mind and what you prepared. You know, you come in, some people come with their little tzatlach, with their notes, or their stickies, or their pages, or they wrote in the Haggadah right before, to be able to say something that's like knock everybody out, to say some like great fart. So, but, you have to be open to hearing what other people are talking about as well. Not just to get your point across, but to listen. The night of the Seder is a night for speaking. Mekablam dain mi dain, from one Jew to receive from another Jew, to hear, to listen, to say, and to hear what the other person's. You know, there's a word in Yiddish, a knetch. It means how you translate knetch. Nobody here speaks here. Like a certain oomph. There's a certain twist. Each person has his own crease, his own knetch. It's a certain way in learning and thinking about Pesach and what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. And you have to listen to that. He said, and what if you're just, you think that you're such a chacham, you're such an avain, that you could only give and you have nothing to receive? He says, as bavade tov ma'ayd. So he says, that's also good. That's tov ma'ayd. Really, it's not tov ma'ayd. He says, ain't tov gedolim yizu lasas tov lechaver, which when he only says, when is it tov ma'ayd? Let's say there's a person who's not a chacham, who's not an avain, that you have it, you say to somebody who is clueless or just doesn't know anything or feel anything. So that's when he says, if you have what to be mashpi and this other person doesn't really have what to give you back, and you could help another person to bring him to a place of have feeling a connection to the to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, then Bavadis Abaye Baruch Hu v'yesh nachas ruach Hakadosh Baruch Hu mizeh, and that's what it means v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma. That means v'yakshev Hashem. It doesn't say that about everything. Hashem is always listening to everything. Hashem hears every single filo sicha kala. Even a husband and wife are talking to them, each other privately. Hashem listens to every single conversation. Hashem knows exactly what we're talking about every minute of our lives, what we're thinking, what we're saying. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us in that last Nevuah, he said, I want you to know that when you're sitting with other Jews and you're talking honest, real words about me, and you're discussing and thinking about ways to get closer to me and how to be bigger Avdei Hashem, Vayakshev, Vayishma, Hashem is listening, Vayakshev, he writes it down in the Sefer Zikar, in the Sharafanav, he writes it down in a special Sefer Zikar. And the Svarim says that Elyonovi keeps these Svarim. And these are the Svarim that are going to be read. Each person, Svasema says, when Mashiach comes, the Svasema has a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim, from the earlier Tzaddikim, that when Mashiach comes, Elyonovi is going to present each and every one of us, Mashiach Elyonovi is going to present each and every one of us with the Sefer Zikar. It's not just Megillas Esther, it's not just Megillas Rus. Each and every one of us, what we had to go through in order to be Jews in this world. And even though while we were going through these things, just like in Megillas Esther, you don't see the Shem Hashem anywhere. And we thought that these were just coincidences and why these things were happening. But in that Sefer Zikaron, all of the experiences, all of the nisyonis of a person's life, are put into the sefer zikaron, ashilafonav. Now we're going to come back to the middle, but I don't want to miss it. So go all the way to the last page. We'll come back to the middle pages in a second. Go to the last page. You see where it says on the there are four columns. The second column where it says ve'ever alayich. You see. Is there an arrow there? No, I made the arrow afterwards. The ever alive. You see? The second column. So in the drashas there, in the psukim, this is a pasuk from Yecheskel, that's in the Haggadah. So the pasuk says, the ever alive, the erech misbosesis bedamayach. Hashem Yisbach passed over us. The erech, and I saw you misbosesis bedamayach. I don't know, the English probably translates to something like wallowing in your blood. Something like that. Misbosesis bedamayach. So Hashem looked down upon us in Mitzrayim, and we were misbosesis bedamayach. We're wallowing in our blood. V'omalach what? Bedamayach chayi, bedamayach chayi, you say by the bismillah. Bedamayach chayi, bedamayach chayi, Chazal says, referring to the two bloods that were the schus. In the schus of the blood that came from these two places, so we were zeichet to leave Mitzrayim because we didn't really have mitzvahs, Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, right? The blood of the Korban Pesach and the blood of Bris Mila. This Varim Lach B'damayi Chayi, B'damayi Chayi, which this from tell us means Emuna and Shmiras HaBriz. Emuna and Shmiras HaKedusha. Dam Pesach, Pesach is Emuna. It's the Chag Emuna, it's called in this from Chag Emuna, it's the Yontiv of Emuna. It's the beginning of our Emunah is Pesach. That's Dam Pesach. The Karban Pesach is when we broke away from that Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim that we were very much wallowing in, the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. That's the nace of the Shabbos HaGadol, what the Torah brings down from the Medrash. that we were also very busy with Avodah Zarah when we were in Mitzrayim. And the Dam HaPesach, the Korban Pesach, we went and we shechted that world of Avodah Zarah, and we tore ourselves away, and we went after Hashem. So that's the Dam Pesach. Dam Mila was besides the Brisson that we began. Dam Mila, Shmiras HaBris, as you know, doesn't only mean to make sure that the boy has a Bris on his eighth day, but as Brisi Tishma means that throughout one's entire life, we try to guard the covenant with Hashem. Shmir Sabris, that Kedushas Habris and the Midah of Yesod, Kedushas Hainayim, Kedushas Habris, is Shmir Sabris, that's the Avodah of Dam Mila. So it says in Pasuk that Hashem saw that we're wallowing in the blood of the Dam of the Korban Pesach and the blood of the Brisson that were being given. We're wallowing in that blood. So the Rebbe explains. So I just had a very short time ago, there was one of the Bochum here, Yeshiva, was asking me, what happens, he said, Rebbe, what happens if I'm working on Shmiras HaInayim, guarding my eyes, and I'm working on Shmiras HaBris, but I'm Bechlal not like there yet, I'm not there, I'm not, you know, perfect, I'm not there yet. So is it right? Is it acceptable? Is it proper for me to go out and to go out on dates to meet a girl for the sake, purpose of getting married? I'm not talking about a girlfriend. He's talking about getting married. Is it right for me? I'm not in that place yet of tikkun habris and tikkun hainayim and so on. So many people have those thoughts. It's bad enough that you feel that you messed yourself up. Why do you want to mess up a nice Jewish girl, right? So many, many chever have this fear and this thought of moving forward, of moving on in life. Now, there are some people who, lo aleinu, are very, very dependent on things that are unhealthy, and I'm not talking about people who, God forbid, are addicted or in a very, very unhealthy place that needs intense, serious help. That's something else. But what about just a good guy? He's a good guy, but like everybody else, he's not there yet. So am I supposed to be going out with a nice girl, a frum girl? I'm supposed to be going out and get married. So this is the Beis Avraham's answer to that question. Okay? It's an interesting question. You ask him? It's an important question, no? So let's see what the Beis Avraham has to say about that. He doesn't say if Hakadosh Baruch Hu Roshe Yehudi Higia. He doesn't say if Hakadosh Baruch Hu Roshe Yehudi Hishlim Es Atzmo. He doesn't say that when God sees that a person has perfected himself, or when the person has reached his destination of the tikkun that he's been working on. He just says if Hakadosh Baruch Hu Roshe Yehudi Mechazek Es Atzmo, that a Jew is trying to be mechazek himself. He's mechazik es atzmo. He's trying to be better. He's mechazik es atzmo. Shafilum nafal bidei hayetz sahara. Even though sometimes he's nafal bidei hayetz sahara, sometimes he loses. Sometimes he gives in to the yetz sahara. Afilum nafal bidei hayetz sahara. But he's mechazik es atzmo. He tries to mechazik himself. Nachamal. Again. Start again. Try again. Try to be better. Afiluim nafal bidei hayetzahar mikol mokom hulochem od. What does he mean hulochem od? He's still fighting. He doesn't surrender. He doesn't hold up a white flag to the other side to Amalek. He doesn't hold up a white flag. Hulochem od mikol mokom hulochem od. He keeps on fighting. Now this Hebrew you're not going to know. He doesn't give up. Azoi v'yeiner v'zgeitoy v'melchama. You can figure out what that means. Azoi v'yeiner v'zgeitoy v'melchama. Like a person who's going out to war and is on the battlefield. Er krik geschossen means he got shot. He took a bullet. Geschossen means he got shot. And because he got shot, as get blood from him, blood is pouring out for him. Und stark sich milchama halten. Who can figure out what that means? Und stark sich milchama halten. Stark is what?
Strong.
Stark sich milchama halten. He still holds on and continues to fight. He took a bullet and he's bleeding. Nestark sich milchama halten. Mizeh yesh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach. Ah, the Bunshom has a special place in his heart for these Jews who got shot, who fall, and they get up, and they mechazik themselves, and they keep on fighting, even though they're dripping blood all over the place. Their mom is bleeding all over from the times they took bullets. It's a mitzvah to say this over the Seder, if you could say it over. From this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has big nachas ruach. And look how the Rebbe says a remez in the pasuk that we just said in the morning from the Shira. Hashem ish milchama Hashem shemai. So that literally means Hashem is one of the ways that Hashem is called when he's revealing his strength as a warrior and killing our enemies and so on. That Hashem is called an ish milchama. Hashem ish milchama Hashem shema. But the Rebbe says the remez here is like this: the Eibishte is mit Aiden, was er geht milchama halten mit dem Seine. The Rebbe Shlom is especially with those Jews. Hashem loves Jews. A Jew who is an ish milchama. Hashem, you want to know, you ask Hashem who are your favorite Jews in the world? The Rebbe Shlom says, I love. It's a tzaddik and a gevaldik, but you show me an ish milchama. Hashem has a special place in his heart for an ish milchama. What's an ish milchama? This is exactly what he's talking about. It's mit Eden, was er geht milchama halten mit dem Seine. With the Jew who, despite the injuries, despite the bullets that he's taken, he fights against the enemy. He continues the war. He doesn't give up. He still fights. Eget milchama halten mit dem Seine. Zehu, and that's what's hinted at over here. The ever alayach, that Hashem looked over his Jews in Mitzrayim. And in the Mitzrayim that we're still in right now before Mashiach comes, Ve'erech misboseses b'damayich. And I see that you're wallowing in the blood of your injuries, that you've been wounded. You're fighting to be Jews who have emuna. That's the Dam Pesach. Even though there are many times in life that it would have been easy for you to give up and say, forget it, I just don't feel like there's any point to any of this. I daven for this, I don't see that it works, and I tried to be good and it didn't work out. So he sees that we're wallowing in the blood of the Dam Pesach, of the Korban Pesach, which means that Dam that we spill because we're injured. When it comes to our emunah, we've been injured, we're hurt, we're disappointed in many things in life. And then there's the Dam Mila. The Dam Mila, the blood of Jews who are Hashem's Anshei Melchama, his fighters in the war, who have gotten shot, who have gotten bullets, and who have been injured by their failures in life. And it doesn't work out. These people start and they get up and they keep on fighting that Melchama, they don't give up, and they keep on going to daven, to learn mitzvahs, masam toivim, trying again. They don't give up. Ve'erech misbaseses v'damach. Ve'omer lach, Hashem says to those Jews, b'damayich chayi. Ve'omer lach, b'damayich chayi. The Baruch Shem says, you should know that the greatest schus that you have in your life is that you're one of these ish melchamas. That's the greatest schus, b'damayich chayi. And if you understand how much I love you, the Baruch Shalom is saying, and how much I look upon this with such nachas that you're doing this, that would give you the biggest chiyus. That would keep you alive, mamish. Davka, because you're injured, and you're wallowing in the blood of the Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah. You're wallowing in the blood of your yegiyus and emunah and yegiyus and shmiras hakadosh and shmiras habris and shmiras einayim. Davka v'omelach, you should know, b'damayi chayi, b'damayi chayi. Chazal say, if you really want to live, if you want to be a person that's be'emes alive, yamis es atzmai, you kill yourself. What does it mean? If you want to be really alive, you should kill yourself. Those people who kill themselves to do the right thing are the ones who are most alive. Not the ones for whom it comes easy. I was talking about to the Oidl about this on Shabbos HaGadol. One of the problems that we have nowadays is that things come very easy. My wife saw one of the Jewish newspapers. If you want to know where we're holding, you look at the advertisements in the from newspapers and magazines. So my wife showed me tore out a page from one of the from newspapers. I don't know which one. And there's a full page. It says, it says, you're already very, very busy for Passover or for Pesach. Why bother with kashering? And then it advertised that they have a service that they'll send guys to your house for whatever, $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000. They'll send a service to your house. Some guys will come with the gloves and some torches and some pots and pans, and we're going to kosher for you. We'll kosher for you. It says the lashon was definitely, why bother with koshering? There's a couple of simanim in Shulchan Aruch, you know that. In Yerdei and Arachayim. Why bother with koshering? We're just going to send you a couple of guys. And then it has a bunch of numbers, credit cards, all major credit cards. So, I'm sure they're going to do well. Maybe I shouldn't say it because I don't know how many people are still kashering. If you're home, you have to kasher. If you're not home, then you hope for the best. Right. So, I was talking to the Chevra about this a lot on by the Shabbos HaGadol, that this inyan of not wanting to die in my Yiddishkeit. See, Bal Korcheinu, our grandparents and great-grandparents, they were memes as atzvim. Their Yiddishkeit required dying a billion times. I'm not just talking about because of Cossacks and Nazis. That's something else. Even to learn a Blat Gemara. To learn a Blat Gemara. When I started learning Gemara, whatever that was, in fifth grade or sixth grade, I don't remember, and we were learning Hamafkit, There was an English translation. There was a Sonsino English translation that only like one or two rich kids had. The Sonsino, There was a booklet that some guy put out that was absolutely illegal in yeshiva. We're not allowed to have. But there was on Perkut, just on Hamafkid, there was like a, somebody made it in English. This Onsino one, the English, if you've ever seen it, I remember one of the more memorable translations was when it was talking about fruit that was orla, it called it uncircumcised fruit. And I remember wondering if there was something in life that I hadn't heard about, about fruit requiring some sort of a circumcision. I wasn't sure who the moil was and exactly how you do that. And so we didn't have art scroll. We didn't have Mesifta. We didn't have all of the unbelievable, and wonderful tools that Hashem has brought down so that now thousands and thousands of people never would have opened up a Gemara in their lives. But on the other hand, Alza Haya Doveli Bainaval Ela Khashkhwainaina. What it means to kill yourself over a Taisus, or kill yourself over a Blat Gemara, if you can look in the back of the Mesif, and it has the whole Taisus. When he first came out with the Swarm to explain Taisus, to explain and to write everything out in the Gemara. What you and I see is the sacrifices, these sacrifices now that we're making for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ikka sacrifice that we're making now is in the Inyan of Kedusha. The Inyan of Kedusha is Habris. And Hashem says on that, because now that's become much harder than before. Learning has become much easier. So it's much easier to learn. Anybody can now open up a Gemara and can get a translation, can learn a Blat Gemara. So learning has become much easier. Making Pesach, why bother with kashering? Why bother with making your house Pesach? You can go just for 80,000, 100,000, you can go to a nice hotel. Why bother kashering? Why bother making Pesach? Everything else, sukkah, pay a guy to put up your sukkah. Whatever it is. Everything else in Yiddishkeit has gotten significantly easier, including learning, has gotten much easier. But there's one thing in Yiddishkeit that has gotten much, much, much harder than it ever was before. Or two things. Emuna and Kedushas Abris. Following? You big boys, right? Those two things have gotten much harder. For that, you can't get an art scroll, Shmir Sabris. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? What are they going to have for you, art scroll? You going to have some buddy walking around with you or something? They'll probably have that someday also. I don't know. Maybe they'll have that. You could hire a guy to walk around with you. Yeshoimer. These two things of Emuna and Kedusha are now harder than they were ever before. The Hestaponim really began from World War I, very, very strong, from the Enlightenment and from World War I. But after the Second War already, Hestaponim is gefährlich. Unbelievable Hestaponim. Unbelievable Hestaponim. And it comes to the Inyan of Tumah and Pagam Habris, with the technology, it's already a completely, completely different world. But the one that I was growing up in is completely different world. I'm just not. So these two areas, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ve'erech mispossesses v'demayich, v'aymalach v'demayich chayiv, v'aymalach v'demayich chayiv, for our generation, the Baruch Hu is saying more than ever before. This is written by the Beis Avraham, we're talking about 100 years ago. But v'aymalach v'demayich chayiv, v'aymalach v'demayich chayiv, the Kosh Bochus and Kosh Bochus Vayakshav Hashem Vayishma and Vayikosel Lefanav Vesefi Tikran Lefanav. More than now, Davke, these two inyonim of Dam Pesach and Dam Bris are the biggest nisyonis of our generation. Emuna and Kedusha. Emuna and Kedusha. And Davke here, the Rebbe is telling us this is the meaning on a deeper level, Mispesesiv Damayach, that a Jew is Mechazik is Atzma. It's not talking about shleimus. Talking about a person who's bleeding. But if you're a Jew that cares, and you're still trying in those two areas of Emuna, you're still trying to hold on, to be good in that area of Emuna and Kedusha Sabris, then you should know that that's what Chazal meant in Talmud when it says, that if you want to really know what it means to be alive, it's only when you die. When you feel like you're dying, and you push yourself, that's when you feel like your mom is alive. You know, when I was a little kid, I was a couple of friends in the pool, and there was this one guy that was like a real bully. Nobody liked him, and people still don't like him. I don't live near him anymore, but he's a very unlikable guy. And he was very strong, big guy, and a mamisha bully. And he had like a certain hanar in a pool to hold people's heads under the water. Yeah, it was like he had hanar from that. So generally tried to stay away from him, you know. But I remember one time he got to me. I was going under the water in a pool somewhere. We were in the pool. And this guy, his name was Larry. Nothing wrong with that name. It just happened his name was Larry. He grabbed onto my head and he held my head under the... And there was no way to fight against this guy. And I was thinking, I remember thinking, like my parents are going to be so upset about this. I thought I was going to die. I remember that was my thought. Like, this is going to be my parents. But after all they went through, like this, like, oh, it's terrible. I thought I was dying. I couldn't breathe. I started to already take in a little bit of water. And I could hear him, like, laughing up at the top. And the other guy saying, hey, get off from this. The guys are trying to push him. Like this, Larry, he's a big guy. And finally, like he pulled me up from my hair. He pulled me up from there. I had hair when I was a kid. He pulled me up from the water. And I remember that first breath of air, like it was yesterday. That breath that I took, because I was utter not going to be here anymore. And I felt. Can you imagine if we would feel how good it is to be alive, like on a regular Monday, when you get up in the morning and you open your eyes and you feel. Kol neshama tahalel ka, I'll call neshima neshima, right? Every breath. Kol neshama tahalel ka, that feeling of being alive. You can only really feel that unbelievable excitement of being alive when you almost die. That's why one of the reasons why people like to go to all these scary movies and they go on all these crazy rides, right? Cholamite used to take the kids to Adventureland. I was in Adventureland 14 times. 3 years. And I would tell the kids, I'm only going if we leave first thing when it opens, to be there right when it opens, because I'm not waiting online with all the chassidim with you guys. The chassidim show up like at 1, right? 2 o'clock after they die. So I said, I'm not going at 1 o'clock. You want to go? Well, you got to be ready. We're leaving at 9:30 in the morning. That was the deal. But they did it. They were okay. So I went 14 times to Adventure. And I have one of my daughters, who's a big tzaddik, it's my suri. She was like crazy with this one ride that when it was like very, very high. And then it just lets the floor out and you drop all the way down, something like that. Now, I never liked rides when I was a kid. I sometimes went along because I didn't want to be, you know, because Larry would get upset with me. So I would go along, but I hated rides. I really hated rides. So at that time in the morning, there were very few people. The chassidim didn't come yet. So how many Litvaks go to have fun in the amusement park? So it was just the Weinbergers and a couple other Hungarians were in the amusement park. So, my suri, I'm standing there by suri. The other ones were scared. The other kids were scared about that one. Suri, she was like, she's very late, but I think, suri, go, you didn't have to wait online. She went to the thing, she comes down. She has this like crazy look in her eyes. She had red hair. And she's like, runs right back to go into line. And she's going, back online. She goes up and boom, comes down, goes back. So, like, I tried stopping her, like when she was running back around. I said, suri, she's going, dad, let me go. I said, what is it? What is it about this? What is it about this ride? Like, what do you like about this ride? I asked her. So she said, Daddy, you don't understand. I said, what? I almost died. I almost died, Daddy. So I said, that's good. She said, and then she just ran away. I almost died. You know, when you almost die, Chas v'Shalom, when you almost die, then your life has some chiyus to it. Thank God we're living at a time where we have to die. Thank God. Things are good. It's never been as good as like it is now, but Hashem is still there. People that have tzaros. But mostly we're not in that state of almost dying. And because of that, we almost hardly ever feel like we're living. That's just how life is. That's why I was talking about Shabbos HaGadol a little bit, that the conveniences of our lives have made living very, very... very much not alive. Not that we ask for tzaros, God forbid. But one of the things that we used to feel alive when we came to Pesach to the Seder was after spending with my mother in the house, she should be well, the kind of cleaning that we did with my mother, myself and my sister, it was the two of us and my mother my father, the kind of cling that we did Pesach. But when he came to the Seder, it was a chiyas to come to the Seder like that. It was a chiyas. We came to the Seder, but the Maya Chayi, and that was a chiyas of feeling that we, Mamish, did something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. My mother had us, Mamish. I used to say to my mother, Vayakar, Mother Chodesh, I used to say my mother. I would say to my sister, my mother would give out our jobs, and I would say, Vayakar, Mother Chodesh. Like, oh no, here's Mami, you know, the kind of jobs we used to have to do. Because they saw that, my mother saw that by her mother, scraping the walls, things that have nothing to do with chametz. I used to beg my mother, I said, there's no chametz on the wall. What kind of thing is this? There's no din to, my mother said, don't tell me no dinim and nothing, if you think you're such a big shot. My mother did it, and you're doing it, and we're doing it, that's all. And that's how we did it. I said, Ma, you don't have to move the oven, you know, it weighs 500 pounds. I said, just move it. I said, according to Allah, Ma, you don't have to go over there. I said, Don't tell me halach, it's just you move the oven, that's what. That's how we grew up. But you know, there's a chiyas. It doesn't sound like fun, and when you're in it, you don't feel it. And what we're in right now, our generation, what we're in right now, this time that we're in right now, when it comes to the nisyanis that we're having with Shemir Sabris and with Amuna, it's not fun when we're in these nisyanis. It's very, very hard. But those of you who know what it feels like, the victory of not giving in and being strong and holding yourself back, you know, and you know, and Hashem knows that you know that at that moment you feel, b'damayi chayi, azah chiyas. Because you could feel Hashem writing that down in His book. And you could hear Hashem saying, ah, an ish milchama, in the whole world, how many people do I have left like this? An ish milchama. A guy, this guy's a gibor, he's an ish milchama, he's a warrior. He's fighting. He got a bullet. Yeah, he's bleeding. Sometimes he falls. But look, he gets back up. Hashem, Ish Milchama. Hashem Shema. We didn't have time to do the other ones, but I hope that you'll be able to, Mr. Shem, look at some of these other Torahs. They're very short and very simple and very real. And if you can get your hands on the Slalom Haggadah, you can have it all in front of you. I just couldn't find the Haggadah, so I took it from the Sichas HaKadosh. Hashem's book should help us. And the schus of him watching, I'm saying this, I'm not uncomfortable to talk to Bachem. I talk about these things all the time because the game is over. This is what we have to talk about. Oz nidbu ish el reyu. Hashem Yisbarach wants us to speak to each other, give chizah to each other. And you do that with your friends at the Starm. You do that over Yontif. And to give over that chiz and that chizah to people, yourself and to other people, that what says at the end of this nevuah is going to be, it's going to come true. And we're going to see with our own eyes of hini anach shalach lachem. And so Leonardo left my boy Hashem, how God of Hanoi should be Zaycha to see him, 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 and Amen. And I'll talk to you soon.